We just finished the first week of Lent, and I suppose the most obvious theme that we heard during the last week was that of repentance and return to God. Not that that's something we don't hear the rest of the year. We hear that very often. It's a very simple message, but one that we especially emphasize during Lent. During the Great Canon, we heard a constant reflection on our own sins and our need to respond positively to God's grace. We also heard this in the scripture readings this past week. For example, in one of the readings from the prophecy of Isaiah, it says, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land, but if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And another reading by the prophet Isaiah, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Today, we celebrate the memory of the prophet Zechariah, and the very beginning of his prophecy begins with these words. The Lord has been very angry with your fathers, therefore say to them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. With the way cars are designed now, it might be harder for some people who don't remember how they used to be to appreciate this analogy, but there was an older couple sitting in the front seat of their car, the husband's driving, and back in those days, you had the front seat with one straight seat, and you didn't have seatbelt laws, so people could sit closer or further away from the person driving if they wanted to. And the wife commented, you know, we don't sit close to each other like we used to. And the husband said, you know, the steering wheel hasn't moved since we bought this car. He hasn't moved. The wife moved away. And if the wife wants to be closer to the husband, the wife has to scoot back to where the steering wheel is. But the question about how we return to God is a difficult one, we think, because we make it difficult. We know that God has told us to change our life. We know that God has told us to be different. And we make commitments to do differently, and then we see that we fail very often. And so sometimes when I talk to people, I get this sense that they really don't know how to make it work, that there seems to be something missing. So the question is, what does it mean to believe? Well, in the epistle reading we read today, it's one of many different selections from chapter 11, from the book of Hebrews. That reading is read differently depending on the occasion. But that chapter begins with a definition of faith. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then the rest of that chapter proceeds to recount all the people of the Old Testament, and it says, by faith Abraham, by faith Isaac, by faith Jephthah, by faith Moses. All these people are recounted. And it talks about, by faith, the various things that they did. And so what does it mean when it says faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen? Well, you can't see somebody's faith, so the only way that it can become the evidence of things that are not seen is when people see it in action. And so faith becomes substantive when we actually put it into practice. It becomes evident when people see it in our lives. A contrary example is earlier in the book of Hebrews. It's talking about the children of Israel who rejected God, and ultimately God rejected them and let them wander in the wilderness for 40 days, and it says that he swore in his wrath that they would not enter into his rest. In other words, they would not live to see the promised land. And it says, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Well, in what way was it not mixed with faith? Surely they had to believe that God existed because they saw God active. They saw these many miracles that God worked in the Exodus. But it wasn't mixed with faith, because if they really believed God, if they really trusted in God, if they really loved God, because we're told by St. Paul that faith works by love, their faith would have been put into action. But their faith wasn't put into action, so therefore their faith was not a real faith. It was maybe an intellectual faith, an acknowledgement that God is who he says he is, the faith of the demons, St. James tells us, because the demons know who God is, but their faith in God is a knowledge of God, but it's not a trust in God. So it's not a question of having a magical feeling that may come upon us one day, or the absence of that magical feeling that will one day, we hope, strike us, and then our lives will change. It's when we join our faith to hard work. There's a saying, a famous saying by Thomas Edison. He was a famous inventor, invented all kinds of things, including the light bulb. And he said, opportunity is not recognized by most people because it's dressed in overalls and looks a lot like work. And in other words, you know, St. Thomas Edison did all these things because he was willing to work really hard. He invented the light bulb because he was willing to fail thousands of times before he finally found the right combination to make it work. And Lent is a spiritual opportunity. And we are looking for the magic bullet that's going to solve all our spiritual problems, and we don't recognize the opportunity that's before us, which is Great Lent, because it's dressed in overalls and it looks a lot like work. It's not, the Christian life is in one sense very easy, it's not complicated. But in another sense it's difficult because we make it difficult. But there's no way around the fact that we have to dedicate ourselves to work. You cannot be argued into having faith. You have to come and see it. You have to experience it. You're not going to experience the prayer of the heart unless you actually have the prayer of the lips. If you have to actually engage in prayer. These things come as a result. They're the fruit of our labor. As the Psalms say, turn away from evil and do good. Seek after God and your soul shall live. There's no two ways around it. We simply have to do what we know we need to do, and regardless of whether we feel like it or not, but simply trust that God has given us these things for our salvation, and that if we do these things, we will encounter God, and if we do, we will. Amen.